There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hi, y'all. It's us. We get to hang out the next couple of hours. Love to hear from you at 343-0106. 343-0106, which is a handy number for phone call and text. And it's not just this show, not just Jeff's show or Mobile Mornings. Shows every day, live local shows, something that's not done, not in fashion anymore in the broadcast industry, but we're not fashionable. 7 days a week, live local shows from folks right here from Mobile and Baldwin County doing the shows, and you can chime in on those shows, whether it be gardening or sports or news or anything else. Check it out, 343-0106 for a text or a phone call, and also if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages using the app. You know, I'm distractible sometimes and unmedicated, which is a danger because I work very hard to get everything ready for the show each day. And I, you know, thought I'd come in and maybe discuss the State of the Union coming up tonight. What's at stake for Biden? What's at stake for the response here from Senator Katie Britt? Also wanted to talk about the Senate and Alabama Senate and what they've done here on gambling, not gaming. We're going to call it gambling. And once again, that's not because I'm trying to be using the pejorative. Gaming is like Call of Duty, right? Gaming's, what is the Fortnite? Whatever, if my son's into Fortnite. That's gaming. Gambling is what we're talking about. So, and I want to get to that, and hopefully we will. Also, talk about the H words, the Houthis and Haiti in international news. Want to get into that as well. But what happens is, what had happened was, two things. The news update there at the what we call the top of the hour, the national news that came in, and then something I had seen earlier, I had not put it on my list, but then doesn't have meta text as the show starts. And I go chasing that tennis ball that he threw to the back corner of the yard there. He says, y'all pray for Jake Paul. Tyson is going to kill him. So this is the fight, and we'll get to news of the day and all that in just a little bit. But this story coming out this morning here, here's the headline. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul announce fight at AT&T Stadium. Said Iron Mike is taking on the problem child. On Saturday, July 20th, former undisputed world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson will enter the ring against internet personality and professional boxer Jake Paul at Arlington, Texas's AT&T Stadium. The fight, which will serve as the main event of a card set to air on Netflix, this is interesting, they're going straight to Netflix, will be the first live combat sport to air on the popular streaming service. So mix that in with all the shows you're watching on Netflix. I did not see the Napoleon. No, I think that was on Prime or something. The Napoleon. I watched a Napoleon movie the other night. Pretty good. So Netflix is going to carry this. Now, back to Doesn't Have Meta on the text line, who said, y'all pray for Jake Paul. Tyson is going to kill him. Well, Doesn't Have Meta and I think we've gone back and forth on the text line, pretty close to the same age. So I am of the Tyson generation. Tyson, just the dominance of Mike Tyson in the ring. Just the amazing talent from when he started boxing at like 9, 10 years old on through. I'm with y'all on that. Somebody I don't want to take a punch from. Mike Tyson tops that list. He's 1 through 25 on that list. But I've seen some stuff about this Jake Paul cat. You know, and he's popular internet. He was a YouTuber and all that stuff. But it looks like, and boxing aficionados, y'all can help me out. It doesn't have meta. Y'all have seen, looks like the boy can fight. Looks like Jake Paul can fight. So I don't know. And the difference here is, and I'm with you. Listen, I'm a no academic at boxing, actually, but do like boxing. That's one of the things outside college football that I do like. You know, people ask about a lot of other sports. I'm like, baseball? I don't know. But you know, basketball? If Alabama's playing, Auburn's playing, maybe. But boxing, the sweet science is of interest to me. But I'm no great academic of it. But a lot of boxing is conditioning, right? Obviously, it's the ability to throw the punch. It's ability to have that just sense of when to not be there and let the punch miss you. But there are, it's 30, right? Tyson's like, if I'm 50, Tyson's like 56, 57 years old. Jake Paul is what, 20 something? Hold on. Jake Paul is 27. So 30 years, let's say 30 years in between the two. Even though, to tell you, doesn't have better, I agree, I got this thing with, you know, the invincibility of Mike Tyson, but 30 years. I got to tell you, I'm going to cheer for Tyson, but I would bet for Jake Paul. I don't know. So you know, the pros on this boxing stuff, y'all can hit me up on the text line, pun intended, at 343-0106, 343-0106, and tell me what you think about that. Oh, doesn't have meta goes on to say 106.5 needs to have a call-out night like the Creek Club did back in the 80s. Get a venue, sawdust on the floor, roped-off area, cheap well drinks, and got a beef with someone, call them out for a three-round fist fight. I'll call out Parker first. Call out Parker Griffith. That's good. That'd be a... I'll say, you know what? I'll sponsor that. If you can get that set up, doesn't have meta, I'll sponsor that. So that's it. So there's one story that distracted me here from getting into the meat of the show. And the other one was a news update about the microplastics. Now, we've been talking about microplastics on this show for, what, 5-6 years? Something more than that, maybe. And, you know, the takeaway thing, how much you get into your system on a weekly basis. I went and just made sure that what I remembered was correct. And it seems to be. Now, I remember it correctly. Is the information correct? I don't know. It's coming from the internet. So, according to ScienceDirect.com, at least the name of the website's got science in it, right? So, over at ScienceDirect.com, it says the amount of microplastics average human ingests in a week is 5 grams. You heard it in the news story, 5 grams. Now, of course, there is a wide range by people that probably got lots of microplastics, people because of what they do or don't do, get less of it. But that is the equivalence of a credit card of microplastics in a week, right? That's always the thing they throw out to help you like picture what we're talking about. A credit card's worth of microplastics ingested in a week's time. And like I said, there's some people say, it may not be exactly right, but at least on websites that say science in the name of the website, so what could be wrong? They said we do ingest a credit card's worth of microplastics in a week. So I thought, you know, that story was of interest. I think it probably can't be good for you, but there wasn't anything specific. It was like, we got plastics in our system. We got all kind of, you know, whatever. Then this story that just came out, you heard on the update, people with microplastics or nanoplastics, that's like grandma plastics, nanoplastic. In their carotid artery tissue, were twice as likely to have a heart attack, stroke, or die from any other cause over the next 3 years, more than people who had none, according to a new study. Okay. So carotid arteries, which lie on each side of the neck and carry blood to the brain, can become clogged with fatty cholesterol plaques in a similar fashion as the arteries leading to the heart, a process known as, a word I can't say, what, arteriosclerosis? Am I close? So this study published yesterday in the New England Journal of Medicine says, to date, our study is the first that associated the plastic contamination with human diseases, end quote. They go on to say here from Raphael Marfella, who is the lead author of the study, said our data must be confirmed by other studies on larger populations. However, our study convincingly highlights the presence of plastics and their association with cardiovascular events in a representative population affected by arteriosclerosis. Now, I'll link this story up on the Twitter, the X page, at FM Talk 106.5. You can check it out there. But this is, now, do all people, I got a gajillion questions here. Yeah, do all people gather them at the same, like if, let's say that if Dalton and I both sat down and enjoyed some Velveeta cheese over a credit card, and we just ate the credit card, would we both accumulate the microplastics at the same level? That's, you know, is it because different humans, you know, we're a lot alike, but we also have some different wiring. Some people deal with things differently. So I don't know. That wasn't shown in the report. Is it that all people will, you know, if they ingest X amount of microplastics, it'll go into the carotid artery, or is it different for each person? That's not out in this report yet, at least what I've read. But this is of big interest. Now, what can you do to avoid this? Because it says here, microplastics are polymer fragments that can range from less than 0.2 inch to 5 millimeters down to 1/25,000th of an inch, which is 1 micrometer. Anything smaller is a nanoplastic that must be measured in 1/1,000,000th of a meter. All right, got that. Said nanoplastics are the most worrisome plastics for human health. At 1,000, the average width of a human hair, the minuscule bits can migrate through the tissues of the digestive tract or lungs into the bloodstream. From there, nanoplastics invade individual cells and tissue with major organs, potentially interrupting cellular process. I think that's bad. And depositing endocrine-disrupting chemicals. And this has been discussed before. The endocrine, like, this is what's making men less manly, right? This is one of the theories out there and studies out there that make, short-circuits the testosterone. So that had been talked about before, but this carotid artery stuff, to me, is new out there. So what can you do to avoid this? I've pointed out, number one, and I know folks are calling. We'll get to you here after the news at 343-0106. I know that drinking water from plastic bottles, they say, is part of this, right? And everybody, you know, they're individual. And you can get on the environmental side and say, what a waste, you know, what a bunch of mess out there. You should be better for the environment. Although I have an 18-year-old who has decided being better for the environment is having like 47 different of the water bottle things to drink from and all. Okay. Why don't we go to drinking water out of good old-fashioned aluminum cans? And yes, am I pushing an idea I had way back? I am. Because I thought, I was a student at the University of Alabama when I said, we ought to put water in aluminum cans. So you have that aluminum can taste and the water at the same time, right? Now they make wax paper boxes of water for people to drink. I would say come out with aluminum. It looks like we have to get away from the plastic, as I'm drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper in a plastic bottle right now. But yeah, so what are we going to do? I think this is, if it shows that it's causing people to have strokes and heart attacks, then I think they probably got something to move on there. So those are the things that distracted me. When we come back, yes, we can get into a discussion of the gambling bill in Montgomery. We can also get in a discussion of Haiti on the... How do you know when Haiti's in complete mayhem? And where's the natural resting state of Haiti? But we'll analyze that story. Also, Houthis finally, like I told you, they ended up killing somebody, and they did indeed. We'll get to that story. Also, State of the Union coming up tonight. Your calls, your text, and that and a whole lot more coming up in just minutes right here on Midday Mobile. Now, just sip my Dr. Pepper, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1223 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Yeah. Oh, by the way, thank you. I got a text. Did I hear the conversation with Paul Feinbaum yesterday in Peacock out of Mobile about the interview I had yesterday with Eli Gold? I didn't hear it live, but Dalton got me a clip there from the archive, and maybe we'll play that here a little bit. I don't know what I owe Paul and Peacock for getting a shout-out on national broadcast. It's only happened, like, the only times I make national broadcast, I made it for interview I did with Trump back in 2016. I've been quoted in some articles, but some of the discussion I had with some national media about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project got me national. And then what else? Is that it? No, there's something else. What else did it? The Trump thing, that, and, oh, yeah, anytime there's a hurricane, I make if there's a hurricane in our area, they go, oh, you know, national people go, well, we got that guy. I got that redneck down in Mobile. Get him on there, and we'll talk. But this is national media talking about an interview from yesterday, which, by the way, if you didn't catch the interview, the beauty of our podcast, you know, we do 56 hours a week of live local shows around here. They're all available for you in podcast form. You can go to our website, go to our app, go to anywhere you get podcasts. Just look for hour number one of Midday Mobile yesterday, and you'll check it out there. So, yeah, maybe we'll get that played here later on in the show. The discussion before we get into the other breaking news is sticking around this this boxing thing. Oh, by the way, Sean says, early from, I guess, coming out of Jeff's show, Sean, who said, I like Parker. I guess I'm the only one. I enjoy his updates from the North Country. So there, which is Huntsville, right? Yeah, I'm entertained by Parker Griffith. Supermom says, last time Netflix tried to do a live broadcast, this is Netflix crashed. Jake Paul can fight, but can he Mike Tyson fight? That is the question. Listen, I'm a Tyson fan. I'm just looking at 30 years difference in age. Tusker says, big Mike Tyson all the way. This unnamed texter said, I wondered this when Saban, so he's talking about Coach Saban, brought Mike Tyson in to speak. Does everyone forget Tyson was convicted of a brutal rape? You know, unnamed texter, it's an interesting thing with Tyson and that, right? Is how he, it's almost like what I call the Michael Jackson effect, right? So Michael Jackson, well, not fully convicted, but I mean, do you think the Neverland Ranch was just because he was a kid at heart? I mean, really? But his music is so good, right? We continue to listen to it and play it. It's a weird thing, right, where people push back. Mike Tyson being convicted of rape, served, what, a couple years in prison for that, and got out. And why did we? And it's strange. I think if you have maybe athletic talent or musical talent, some people look past it. But you think, like, Garrison Keillor. Hey, speaking, Sean, of the North Country, like a Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor, right? A talented show host. What, when the Me Too got him, what it was, he was like guilty of flirting. I think flirting with somebody he did the show with, and that got him booted. Of course, it's NPR, so, but I mean, gets him booted. So he's flirting with somebody, and he's like persona non grata. And then Mike, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you on that, texter. Let's see. David says, so since the first lady will have an IVF patient. Okay, that's going to be tonight. Yeah, David says, so because the first lady is going to have an IVF patient from Alabama in her box tonight, do you think that means that the president will praise the work of the legislature and the governor to quickly fix the IVF issue in the state? David, really? I tell you what, we'll put some money on this, right? Even though gambling's not yet legal in Alabama, I will bet you that he does not. Say, and by the way, while I'm talking about IVF, let's talk about how good of a job they did in Alabama. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. All right, on to the, there's so much more boxing predictions. We're going to try to get this, but get to these in order. This texture says, I don't eat any processed food, only meat and some vegetables and fruits, no plastics for me. Thanks, Sean. Well, there you go. So I try not to, but I mean, here was the meal last night, unnamed texter. So part of it was good. The boy and I went and caught some bass, and we had bass, but I fried them in some Louisiana fish fry, right, in peanut oil. I mean, so that part was good. I mean, usually we eat, once or twice a week, eat venison, but, you know, ground venison, but I got other stuff with it. So I'm getting, and I eat, my lettuce is off the chart. I could hardly keep up with eating the lettuce out of my garden right now, but still I'm eating stuff that has plastics in it. I don't know if it's a credit card worth a week, but, you know, I'm drinking that Dr. Pepper right now, the plastic bottle. So who knows? More aluminum, please. More aluminum. All right. There are people talking. Okay, so more people on the predictions on the fight. We'll have like a sub-conversation here on the text line about it. Florida man says, turns out like in the third round, suddenly something happens and the TV goes crazy. It's because they are running a VCR tape across the street and taping every round and coming over and putting... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. This is a second part. So here's Florida Band says on the text line, there's a pay-per-view boxing match, funny story from the late 1980s. There was a bar in Perdido Key, Florida, who advertised a pay-per-view fight. They were going to have one. They were going to have on the bar and charge everybody $20 cover to get in. There were probably 200 people in the small bar, and the fight had started about 10 minutes late, apparently, or so we thought. And it was weird because the TV was turning off between rounds. Turns out, like in the third round, suddenly something happens and the TV goes crazy. It's because they were running a VCR tape across the street and taping every round and coming over and putting the VCR tape in and playing each round on the VCR. So they had bought it, the fight for the residential, fight for the residential for the amount of dollars instead of buying it at the bar for a whole lot more. Okay, I'm following you. So they did the residential pay-per-view instead of their place of business, and they put it on the... But then, you know what? That shows a little ingenuity, but... we'll get back to plastics, boxing, and maybe some of the stories of the day when we return on Midday Mobile. National news probably talking about microplastics is next.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, with the Team America theme playing in the background. Now that's America, y'all. 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday, Friday Eve edition of the show. I joined the news there. I was listening to the news, but also catching up on the email. Here's what I get from Clint Jameson over at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Hey, Sean, you need to bring your bike in for your free adjustment. You need to call me. Let's do it Thursday or Friday. Well, today's Thursday. Thursday or Friday. I need to come in and do it soon. That's something that comes when you get a bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles. I've talked about how the bike's put together and tuned when you get it, which is a big deal. We talked about that during Christmas with like kids' bikes and stuff, that they're already put together and put together properly and all that. But when you get a bike, any bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, it comes with free adjustments. So if you've got your bike or e-bike, once you get it, you know, ride it for a month, month and a half or so, come back in, let them make sure everything's aligned, working properly, brake pads are set correctly, the shifting gears, make sure they're shifting right, make sure all the gears are working properly, make sure your chain is properly lubed. And like I said, I ride mine, my e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles off-road a whole bunch, so I need to double-check that because it's in water and grime and all that. Also, you'll check air pressure on the tires, make sure everything's right with the bike. They'll take it for a test ride. So when you buy a bike at Adventure Earth Bicycles, whether it be an e-bike or a non-e-bike, you'll be able to bring it in, you know, quarterly at no charge and get that tune-up done on your bicycle. They want your bicycle working for you, not against you. And so, yeah, call, get an appointment, bring the bikes by, get them tuned up. And while you're there, check out what's new from Ufree in their e-bike, also Big Sur's e-bikes, and car racks. If you're going to be hauling them around, if you don't have a pickup like I do in your haul, and even if you have a pickup, they make racks for that from Swagman, Thule, and Kuant. They have a great assortment of cycling bags and panniers as well. That's the next thing I'm getting for my e-bike is a pannier so I can carry stuff with me, like turkey season this year and all that. Put all that stuff in the pannier and basket. I like it. That's Clint Jameson, Adventure Earth Bicycles. They're online at adventure-earth.com. Best to see them in person right there at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty cornered across from Ruth's Chris. Adventure Earth Bicycles, where I got my bike, and that man, Clint Jameson, he and I have known each other a long time. Clint, that means we're old, that's for sure. But we're still riding bicycles. That's cool. I'm back. All right. To the text line here. This is a bunch here. A lot about the fight. A lot of people interested about this fight coming up this summer. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. 30-year difference between them. You know, I'm a Tyson fan from, you know, generationally. But 30 years makes a big difference, I would think, in something like training for boxing. So IT Jesus said, I think the plastic thing would affect you based on your already overall health, but it can't be good for anyone. Yeah, that's in that study that came out, they're showing that some these people had this problem with clogged carotid artery, but I don't know that it's going to, I mean, does it affect everybody the same way, I guess? You know, because some people, you know, you always see the news stories, morning TV. Do they still do that where they do the shout out? Like, say hello to Miss Edna from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 117. And she, you know, starts her morning off with a glass of bourbon and eggs and a cigarette or something like that. And she's just fine. And then you hear somebody else who had like one egg and their cholesterol is through the roof. So I don't know. All right. A lot of people here still. Still people saying Tyson wins this. Also mentions of, by the way, doesn't have meta. You're getting shout out from people that for your shout out on the Creek Club. Like Joshua said, I had not heard the Creek Club mentioned in a long time. It's located right by the 8 Mile, right by 8 Mile Creek, hence the name. A great place to get stabbed or shot. So there you go, Creek Club coming back up. Dirt Digger, Sean, when we were growing up, I'm old. I'm just not a grown up yet. But Dirt Digger said, when we were growing up, we used to turn in glass bottles. Why can't we go back to that? Yeah, we did that too. Turn in glass bottles, you made a little money there. I mean, maybe with this microplastic thing, it's, you know, some of the putting your water in one of those reusable, thermoses thing or something like that. That's maybe an easy thing to do there. And then other places, you know, you use plastic wrap. I mean, I try not to microwave something in plastic. I try not to do that. All right. Let's see. And it goes on to say, I'm not watching. Dirt Digger says, I'm not going to watch the State of the Union to know how the country is doing. I already know it sucks for the working class people. It's for politicians and people living off government and illegals. But I hope the teleprompter skips and watch Biden go blank so we can see the mental state. You know, probably it's probably going to be the shortest State of the Union speech ever, I would guess, for tonight for President Biden. Yeah, you know, Ben, you're right. On the text line, said, didn't you get covered during the oil spill with national news? I did. Okay, oil spill, Trump. But penultimate of all that was Macon Feinbaum show yesterday. So there we go. And listen, we'll get to the discussion of Tyson versus. This looks like the thing y'all are most interested in today is Tyson versus Jake Paul. That announcement's out there. But let me get to some of the news of the world. Let's first of all go this story, news of the world here in the United States, why this one doesn't get more coverage. I'm not going to say what nobody's covering, because they are, but it's just not getting the coverage I thought it would. Was this FBI is looking for an Iranian in the United States who they believe is targeting Trump-era officials. This from the from Semaphore.com said, the U.S. government's intensifying a manhunt for an Iranian intelligence operative that the FBI believes has been plotting to assassinate current and former American officials, including one-time Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is going to be here in Mobile, right, or has already been. Mike Pompeo was supposed to be. Dan, you can give me an update on that. FBI's Miami field office on Friday issued a public alert seeking information on Majid Farhani, a suspected member of Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and Security, who the Bureau alleged had been recruiting, quote, individuals for operations in the U.S. to include lethal targeting of current and former USG officials, end quote. I just got a question. Crazy question. Does somebody who is a known member of Iran's military Ministry of Intelligence and Security come through like at LaGuardia? Do they clear customs there in Atlanta? How could they possibly have gotten into the United States? I wonder how. Goes on to say it's unclear why the FBI issued the warning in Florida, but the U.S. government warned a most wanted notice issued Friday that Farhani speaks Spanish and frequently moves between Iran and Venezuela. The U.S. Department of Justice convicted an alleged Iranian operative in 2011 with working with Mexican drug cartels. What? You mean the Mexican border? Huh. An attempt to assassinate Saudi Arabia's former ambassador to Washington, Adel al-Jubeer, while he dined at a Georgetown restaurant. In January, the DOJ indicted an Iranian gang leader for allegedly working with members of the Hells Angels to kill Iranian dissidents living in Maryland. Goes on. The reasoning here, the Iranian government has repeatedly vowed over the past 4 years to avenge the 2020 death of Soleimani. Major General Qasem Soleimani, commander of Iran's elite Quds force, who the Trump administration assassinated in Baghdad using the drone strike in his convoy. Remember that discussion from Trump about that? Like, we got him and we blew him up right there. DOJ indicted members of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard in 2022 for allegedly plotting to murder Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton. and John Bolton's mustache. U.S. officials told Semaphore they believe Pompeo and Trump's special envoy for Iran, Brian Hook, are also on Tehran's hit list. U.S. government's currently providing both men with around-the-clock security due to the severity of the threat. So the story goes on about this Farhani. So this is a Iranian intelligence agent, assassin, working and getting people to work with him here in the United States to do assassination stuff on Trump, Pompeo, Bolton, others. But I just ask, I mean, maybe Biden can address that tonight in the State of the Union event address. How could these people possibly, who are on our list, known bad guys, how could they possibly get into the United States? And nothing to do with the story about them also working with Mexican drug cartels. Let's not even talk about the Mexicans. All right, so Houthis in the news too. Something I have been on about hot and heavy since this all got cranked up last year. They finally did it. Said it was a matter of time, right? You put you put ships in the way of the drones and the missiles, and eventually the Houthis get it right. Says a story from Reuters says India's Navy evacuated all 20 crew from a stricken vessel in the Red Sea on Thursday after a Houthi attack killed 3 seafarers in the first civilian fatalities from Yemeni group's campaign against the key shipping route. So now they've killed people. The Iran-aligned militants. Oh, Iran's in the news again. The Iran-aligned militants fired a missile at the Barbados-flagged Greek-operated True Confidence on Wednesday, about 50 nautical miles off the southern Yemeni port of Aden, setting it ablaze. In a statement, the owners and manager said all 20 crew and 3 armed guards on board were taken to a hospital in Djibouti in the Horn of Africa by an Indian warship, which reminds me, I need to text our friend here. And hopefully those were not his crew. Because remember, there's a company right here out of Mobile that puts security on these ships. They did it for a long time to prevent the piracy going on in that area. But now that and the Houthis in the mix. So there we go. Update on the Houthis, right? We said just a matter of time. There they go. Now they've killed 3 people, not Americans, but 3. I think there are 2 Vietnamese and maybe 1 person from the Philippines that were killed in this attack. And then what's going on in Haiti? And I will say this, Haiti's not Daphne. Y'all write that down. Haiti is not Daphne. It's not like we're expecting a level of calm. Like, Haiti is not Summerdale. But this is bad even for Haiti. Associated Press talking about the fact that gangs have basically taken over, but like politically affiliated gangs, too, have taken over in Haiti. Story from the AP says, when Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry filled the void left by the assassination of the country's president in 2021, he did so over protests of wide segments of the population, but with the full-throated report of the support of the Biden administration. So this is another one of the great foreign moves here, the realpolitik moves of the Biden administration. So it's now almost 3 years later. Is it Henry or is it Henri? I was imagining it'd be Henri, right? Haitian, you pronounce it. But let's just say Henry, because I'm from here. Henry's grip on power is hanging by a thread, and Washington is confronted by even worse choices as it scrambles to prevent the country's descent into anarchy. James Foley, retired career diplomat and former U.S. ambassador to Haiti, said in an interview about the Biden administration's support for Henry, they messed it up deeply. They rode this horse to their doom. It's the fruit of the choices we made, end quote. The embattled prime minister left Haiti 10 days ago. So bad enough that the prime minister said, I'm out. I'm out. And has since crisscrossed the world from South America to Africa to New York now to Puerto Rico, all while staying silent as he tries to negotiate a return home that seems increasingly unlikely. So what's going on down there? Power vacuum's been exacerbated by an almost complete withdrawal of the police from the key state institutions and the mass escape of hundreds of murderers, kidnappers, and other violent offenders from the country's 2 biggest prisons over the weekend. They're out. So you got the gangs doing their thing, and then reinforcements coming from the prison there. Like, if you're, I think Haitian prison, I'm thinking you're pretty bad actor there. Imagine, and there are probably some innocent people in there, too. Haiti says, as of today, the update from the AP, Haiti remains paralyzed after another night of attacks on police stations and other targets by armed groups that have vowed to force Henry's resignation. The country's acting prime minister, filling in for Henry while he's abroad, extended a poorly enforced nighttime curfew through this coming Sunday. Says stubborn U.S. support for Henry is largely to blame for deteriorating the situation. So there we go. Another play here in what we're doing around the world. Haiti plunged into chaos. Like I said, once again, Haiti's not Daphne, because it said last year, there's a stat here, last year more than 8,400 people were reported killed, injured, or kidnapped in Haiti. That's before things got bad. There we go. So got Houthis in, got Haiti up, and now we can get back to boxing and microplastics. And oh, and speaking of plastics, man Rob Hulbert over at Lanyap has got a theory. He's worried about porta potties being stolen around our area. I think I know who's doing it and why. We might engage in that here shortly. Be right back. News, that's next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1252 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 343-0106 gets you through. 343-0106 for a phone call or a text, both the same number. 343-0106. I enjoy this signed discussion going on the text line about this Tyson Jake Paul thing. We'll talk about it when it gets closer. Maybe we'll have some kind of viewing event or something like that. Yeah, Otto, I agree with you. Said Sean, everybody should drink beer. It comes in bottles and cans. That's what I do. I'm with you, Otto. Stay away from the plastic. No water. Let's just get beer. There's probably somebody out there with beer in a plastic. People put it in a plastic cup or something if they have a keg or something. But yeah, generally, aluminum and glass. Dan said, wait, who made... Dan, I was on Fine... They mentioned me. I wasn't on there, but they mentioned me on Fine Bomb. If we have time next hour, Dan, I'll play the clip from yesterday. All right. Your friendly neighborhood banker, Sean, just a quick question. Why the hell are we involved with anything going on in Haiti? Well, I would argue that a bad play here. Obviously, you heard that story from the AP and somebody who had worked in the Biden administration saying, like, we really screwed this up with who we supported and, you know, what the United States did there. So we're now have this attachment. But if we're looking for somewhere to be paying attention to, somewhere in our hemisphere is not a bad thing, right? I mean, we should pay a little bit of attention to Haiti. So things that are over here, we're involved in things that are half a world away, but yeah, Haiti doesn't change the world. I mean, it's not going to change the footing of the world dominance of the United States or any other player out there. But we screwed this up is what it sounds like. And once again, for them to come out and say how bad it is in Haiti, once again, crochet this on a throw pillow, Haiti and Daphne. So when they say it's bad in Haiti, that's something. It's like Haiti bad. Maybe let's use that. How bad is it over there, man? It's Haiti bad. Texter says, Haiti is basically controlled by individuals who represent every chapter of the Lord of Flies. Oh, that's from Abbott. Yeah, that's, so there's gang. The way I understand this, and just from what I've been reading the last 24 hours, so they're gangs and like regular street gangs, but some of the street gangs there that are, weren't there like Haitian gangs? Like Miami Vice used to have like Haitian gangs in there, right? I mean, they were bad, like bloodthirsty. So you get the Haitian gangs and now you affiliate some of them. They're just like street gangs. Now you affiliate them with some government entities and they're fighting against the police and the military there. Where's this going? Okay, you know what? We got a second here. And speaking of Lanyap, I'll have Dale Leash from Lanyap joining us here in just a little bit. Philip says, in high school, I went to jail for stealing a porta potty and putting it on top of Murphy High School for a senior prank. And I didn't even go there. No kidding. The entire story would make a heck of a podcast. Okay, well, interesting. So you got arrested for something you didn't do, and that was putting a porta potty on the top of Murphy High School for senior prank, but you didn't go there. Okay, yeah, Philip, I will need the rest of that story, and we will consider a podcast for that. Yeah, speaking, so I mentioned this, and so if you go over to pick up the new Lanyap or check out lanyapmobile.com, you'll see Rob's Damn the Torpedoes, his op-ed for this week, said potty's getting too portable. And he goes on to say, he talks about this theft of porta-potties in Pritchard. He said, as a Facebook post from Rock and Roll-Offs made the rounds on Monday, encouraging those who might have seen their missing portable toilet to call in and report it, people were giggling at the thought of some thief had stolen a receptacle possibly filled with gallons of human waste. In my mind, went to a different, darker place. So Rob goes on to say, I'll leave some of the stuff out of there. It's pretty funny, though. He said, my first takeaway from the crime is that the drug problem in this country is clearly much worse than we've been led to believe. This couldn't be the work of a clear-minded or even bottom-rung alcoholic. I don't know if one of the side effects of fentanyl use is the unstoppable desire to steal something that smells really bad, but for the sake of argument, let's just suppose it is. The free flow of fentanyl across the southern border is the only thing that makes sense. Stick with me here. He said, a drug-free mind might covet a portalette, particularly one bearing the Rock and Roll-Offs trademark of portable toilet with the yellow trucker cap, blonde goatee, and heavily muscled arms and tattoo. They've managed to make their toilet surprisingly attractive, which could be one of the problems here, but I digress. So he goes on to talk about what he lays out a scenario of what, you know, he's saying the drugs or what might have happened, what could lead people to stealing the porta potties, right? He goes on to say, like, looking at Google's collection of portable toilet stories, it seems to be a trend towards more potty larceny than in previous years. And he lays out some stats out there. What leaves Rob scratching his head, and Rob, if you're listening, if not, I'll call you later, is this is not driven by, I tell you where these things are right now. They're on somebody's property. And yes, some of y'all chimed in already on the text line, thought the same way. They're on somebody's property to be used as a shooting house. Maybe some drone flyovers to check this out, but that's what's happening to the porta potty theft. I don't know how they're getting the potty out of the porta to go use them, but they are being placed on a green field somewhere in the state of Alabama in a wait of next deer season. That's my theory on that, and we'll be right back.